Hour number two here on the Morning Tailgate, Raider Nation Radio. We've been taking your calls in the first hour, 702-365-9200. And as expected, frustrated, angry, disappointed, and beside themselves after the Raiders fall in week three, their home opener, 36-22. Joining us now, it's one of my favorites. My guy, your guy, Raiders legend, Eric Allen. EA, I wish I could say good morning to you, but it only feels like a morning. How do you do? Help us put together the pieces.
Yeah. Still foggy. Didn't get a great night of sleep. I think everybody in the building here is searching and wondering how that bad spoiled egg happened. As you go through the week of the Baltimore and all of us, you know, Vince, Vinny, Clay, we're all excited. We're expecting that to be kind of the stepping stone for us to have a identity, a way to play. And after the game yesterday, with the great fan support, there were almost 70,000, almost 70,000 black and silver, silver and black Raider fans in the building. And we put up a dud like that. So that's very frustrating. And it shows you that when you look in the mirror, if you have a week in practice where you're not focused and concentrated on the opponent at hand, that can happen. We're not good enough to, we're far away from the type of team that can overlook any team. And that's the ugliness that we saw yesterday. That's about as ugly as I've seen from this football team in a long time, particularly with Antonio Pierce as the head coach.
Yeah, and Eric, along those lines, you know, last week after they had one good quarter against the Baltimore Ravens, there were players in the locker room who were talking about how they felt disrespected this year and disrespected that nobody thought that they were going to be able to beat the Baltimore Ravens and disrespect this, disrespect that. At what point, and to me, that's basically them saying you didn't believe in us. Well, how is anyone supposed to believe in this team when they continually do the type of things that they did on Sunday against the Carolina Panthers by following one step forward with three steps backward? At what point do they stop talking about being disrespected and start truly earning that respect?
Well, that happens, as you know, inside between the players, and enough of the reading the headlines outside. So that says a lot about where the team is and how much they are reading into and listening to the outside noise. And I know it's more difficult now to kind of keep everything in house because of, you know, social media and you know, everything that's going on. But you have to make a concentrated effort if you're a team that can't afford to play like this. And what I mean by that is we talk about what identity we want, but if one or two players are down or one segment of your football team is not playing well, then you have to have complementary pieces. And what that game yesterday showed us that we don't really have an identity that we can go into the football field with, and we don't have the necessary pieces to be able to overcome some injuries or some just pedestrian play. And I think that's the one thing that really hurts with the team and what's in the building right now is you think to yourself after a Baltimore win, okay, here's how we should play and these are the things that we should do. You come out this week and you don't have that. Maybe because you're thinking too much about those couple of plays and that two quarters you had in Baltimore, and understand that to be a professional, you really do have to move on. And the way you move on is by having a outstanding week of practice and being able to kind of influence the players on your football team if you're a captain and say, hey, we need to really squash that Baltimore win. We need to focus on this football team that's going to come in here with a new quarterback, and how are we going to adapt to some of the things that this new quarterback is going to do. Not saying that Andy was the complete, you know, one that turned around the fortunes of the Panthers, but if you guys look at every phase of the game and coaching, we lost in every phase. And that's just so embarrassing that this building today is really in for a shock about how this team is going to practice from here on out.
Raiders legend Eric Allen here with us on our Monday morning cornerback. Andy Dalton consistently found big plays in the middle of the field. How did the secondary get exploited, Eric, and how do you fix it?
Yeah, I think they came in here with a good game plan. First of all, it was, if you look at the first couple plays out of the first series, it was to get the ball out of your hands quickly so the rush, in particular Max, can't disrupt. After they found out that Max wasn't the Max of last week, the AFC Defensive Player of the Year of the week, and he was a little hobbled, that allowed them to call a little more deeper shots, and they were playing a lot of zone coverage, and they had some really good pattern schemes. They would have a two receivers on the left side. The middle receiver would run through the middle, taking the safety away. The outside receiver would come about 15 to 16 yards in. We call it like a dig pattern.
Right.
And he was wide open because of the timing. Andy really never got off of his point. There was no point in those big plays, those chunk plays yesterday. I think there were 7 or 8 of them in a game, which is just crazy to have that many chunk plays. But if you look at Andy, he's in the pocket, and he has plenty of time, and he's not being moved off his pocket because the pressure wasn't there up front, and then the coverage on the back end just didn't do a great job of, after maybe 2 or 3 seconds, squeezing those receivers. And they had some really great designs, and along with the protection up front and Andy being Andy, I just thought they did a great job of making sure that the quarterback was protected, the routes were correct, and the play calls at the situations they were in were just perfect yesterday.
EA, I don't want to belabor the point, but it's tough to ignore the comments made by head coach Antonio Pierce following week 3, talking about some guys made business decisions as the game went on, and now the team will have to make business decisions. I'm not going to ask you to speculate on who that was, but Max Crosby made a point saying the film doesn't lie. So I'm curious, right, as a former player, as a guy who was in that room and had, you know, verbal assaults from coaches in your day, I'm sure. When you hear that, what do you think of, and what does that mean for the room?
First of all, that's probably the first time in this part of the season I've ever heard that. Let that sink in.
Yep.
Usually that's something that's held for week 16 back in my day, week 17 and 18, when the team has no chance to make the playoffs and you're trying to figure out, hey, I want to make it to the off season without getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we call a business decision.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a receiver and the ball is kind of high, hey, you know what, for who, for what? Remember Ricky Waters? If you're a tackler and you're coming down and the running back's breaking through, and like, do I really want to make this tackle, or can I find a way to push him out of bounds? Or, man, that is a damning statement for a football team just coming off one of the biggest wins on the road early in the season to have your head coach call your football team out like that. That says so much about where and what this football team, how far this team has to go. We thought, man, we have an identity. We can rely on the defense. We'll find a way to run the ball. None of those things happened yesterday. And the result was your head coach called you out in the media. Just a damning statement for about how yesterday went. If it couldn't have been any worse than the game itself and the disappointment of the fan base, to have your coach mention those words at this part of the season is a huge, huge glaring error for this football team.
We're talking to former NFL and Raider great Eric Allen, great cornerback. Let's stay right there, because I've had some people that I respect tell me that was an error on Antonio Pierce's part to say that as publicly as he said that yesterday, and there could be some repercussions in the locker room. You're a former player. You've been in those locker rooms. I don't know that you've ever had a head coach publicly the way Antonio, maybe behind closed doors, which everything goes behind closed doors, but publicly do what he did. Would you have advised Antonio to do that, or do you think that maybe that's one that he should have kept in-house?
Well, this is what we value and respect about Coach AP, right? I mean, how can we talk about, man, this is a different type of coach? He's come in here and changed the culture back to a point where We really respect what he's saying in the locker room. When we go into the locker room after big wins, we're so excited and we celebrate what he's doing with the players, allowing the players to really step forward and be a part of it. That's kind of what we praise from Antonio, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, that's what the Raider Nation is all about,
yeah.
Right? So when the flip side comes, we don't want to see that truth. We don't want to hear that truth.
Right.
Come on now. Hey, man, we're all big boys here. And these guys are getting paid to play. And I'm the least person to ever talk about someone getting paid. But you cannot expect this coach, who we all have a great amount of respect for, to be truth in the wins and speaking truth to the Raider Nation. And then when you play as poorly as you played yesterday, not to hear the truth. Come on now. That's
well
not
said.
Right.
Well
That's
said.
That's not fair. Right? That's not fair for anyone to mention he should have kept that in when we had the access to all of those great celebrations after the games with all those great Raider players in the locker room after great wins. And we have the opportunity to see all that and feel great and proud about the brand. But when things go wrong, not hear the consequences of why our head coach thinks it went wrong. It's not right.
After three games, what's your patience level with this offense?
Well, we need to see the offense go on the attack from what the personnel suggests, not what we think the personnel should be. We want to be a defensively oriented team that runs the football and takes the play action off of the run. Obviously, and the Panthers, you know, were like number one or two with worst rushing defense in the league. So this was kind of the test. Hey, if we can't run against these guys, then we have to make some drastic changes into how we attack opponents from here on out. So that'll be, and I'm pretty sure, you know, Benny, you're going to be all on this, is what type of offense are we going to run next week? Where are we going to be against the Cleveland Browns? And, you know, Miles may be hurt, but it'll be interesting to see if we come out and try to go with our strength. You know, three wide receivers, four wide receivers with Brock in there at some point and throwing the ball early and maybe to loosen the box up so we can run late. That's going to be the answer offensively, obviously, and defensively, I'm not sure what we can do about stopping the run. I mean, I have no answer right now for that. So those two are going to be priorities going into this week. And I know the pads will probably be on, and there'll be a lot of full live scrimmages going on to kind of find out exactly who's going to be ready to stop the run and who's going to be able to run the ball. And maybe a little adjustment in how you run the football. More of the pin and power game where you have players who are pulling guards and that sort of thing, right, rather than the zone scheme where the linemen are kind of just trying to leverage players from inside to outside.
EA, we'll let you go on this one. So I feel like in less than a month, we've seen the high of the Raiders season and we've seen the low. Is this a character, finding out what the character of this team will be this week? Because as Antonio Pierce said, they're going to hit the sleds. You just said you're probably going to get some live scrimmages and some thudding going on this week. I mean, are we going to find out come Sunday against Cleveland who this team really is?
Yeah, how fast we turn, right? Last Monday, you know, our conversations, we're excited, we're happy. You know, some of the best that, you know, we can see from a team, you know, being able to do what they did. And this is the worst. This is the worst that, you know, we can look and we can be. And if we're not careful, this can kind of pop up. It's both of the games, you're looking in the mirror and you're seeing one side the best that we could be, and then the other side is the worst we could be. So it's really up to this football team to prove that they can put in the work so we don't see this version of this football team anymore.
That is our one and only Monday morning cornerback, Eric Allen, EA. We love you. Even though it's a dark day here on a Monday, you always seem to brighten it.
Oh, man. You guys are my favorite, man. Take care, man. Have a good week.
You too, man.
Take it easy, EA. That was Eric Allen.
Yeah, I'm
fantastic.
With him.
perspective.
Right, and I'm right there with him in terms of you can't expect Antonio to always have your back and be, you know, how he is with you and allow you to express yourself and the cigar parties after wins and everything that he's about, but then not expect him to be as brutally honest.
I agree.
Yeah.
But I think that is having the team's back, because while it may be calling out 1, 2, 3, whoever it is,
if you're
he's having the back of the rest of the team saying this is not going to be tolerated.
And here's the other, And here's the other part of it. There's other guys in that room that I know he's not talking about me, and maybe they have the same feelings about whoever it is that he is talking about. And if you're feeling a certain way, maybe you played a certain way.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a comedian who I believe it was Dane Cook. And this is before the term Karen got thrown around, so this is years ago. Dane Cook once said, you know, every group of friends, whether male or female, has a Karen. Just someone, you know, it's that one in the group that don't really like, but you have to have part of the group. And he always said, you know, everybody can name that person in their group, mm-hmm. and if you can't, you're that Karen. And so that's the Raiders in the locker room right now. Like, if they're sitting there wondering, well, who's he talking about? That's one of those look-in-the-mirror moments. We hear that all the time, right? Guys got to look in the mirror. Guys got to look in the mirror. That's the moment.
Right.
If you're sitting there saying, well, who's he talking about? Because, again, whether you see it in a game, there's a lot happening in a game, different phases. You're on the sideline. You're in your play, but whatever. The film will not lie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why on a day like this, where they're in the facility, they're looking at film, you're seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's obvious. I mean, whether it's Antonio Pierce chewing you out, looking at it, or whether it's the guy next to you being like,
dude,
really? Really? I'm getting pancaked over here. That's why I say, as strong as those words were, and while there's plenty of questions that arises from business decisions and what that means, they already have the answers.
Right.
They already have the answers in the room.
And if you're going to be angry about that your coach did that, go prove him wrong. Again, it's on you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, don't just stew about it. Do something about it.
He said it right.
We see it in those shows like Gordon Ramsay or John Taffer with Bar Rescue. He gets on to you, the owners, mm-hmm. for letting things go wrong to provoke a response of like, all right, I'm defending myself. I'm getting mad. You have to get mad in order to get things to change because you have to get your emotional connection back to make sure that these things never happen again.
That's it right there.
For sure. And what some people are saying is, that should be reserved for those moments and not as publicly as he did it. That's mm-hmm. where, you know, and I'm like, nah.
I'm with EA. They're big boys. They're getting paid.
Yeah.
Like it.
And the tape will justify it.
The tape is going to. That's what I mean.
Antonio's not that guy that's going to say something to you one way. And then,
exactly.
So whatever it is going to be consistent.
You can't have the cigars, let the cameras in the room and watch the party, and then all of a sudden close the doors to everybody else when things get tough.
Right.
And the part that's troubling most, and this is the fantastic perspective we get on Monday mornings from Eric Allen, is he's never, in his illustrious career, and he's played at the highest level, competed with some of the best, never heard that kind of vernacular, kind of messaging the first month of a season.
And also,
that's the problem. That's the problem the Raiders are in right now, which is why maybe AP is a genius in all this. We could be in a few weeks looking back at this being like, that was great that he did it then, nipped it in the bud then, as opposed to letting it linger. That remains to be seen. But again, fantastic perspective.
And you know, let's also you know, be clear in this. We're not letting him off the hook either, Antonio Pierce.
Definitely
not. This is his team, and his team went out there and did the very thing that we assumed would never happen under him, and that was put an effort out there that was just
About non-negotiables.
Right.
We thought that was.
For sure.
In an AP Antonio Pierce-led football team, that was the non-negotiable.
Absolutely. Hey, guys, I want to let you know about a new friend that we have over at Milano Nail Lounge. They're at 3458 St. Rose Parkway in Henderson, Nevada. I know Vince loves to be done up. Those TV guys, which is cool. We like it. And whether you're a guy or a girl, you want to get done up, you want to pamper yourself, we're all about that, aren't we, Vincenzo? And Milano's is the biggest lounge and the largest lounge in town, featuring a 4,000 square foot facility and a support staff of 20 talented professionals. They do it all: manicures, pedicures, acrylics, gel X, hard gel, hybrid gel. They also provide specials for shampoo, blow dries, lashes, and waxing services. And right now they are offering a 20% off promotion for all fans and an extra 20% discount on all gift cards for fans. So whether it's for yourself or a gift card for a special someone, make sure you get over to Milano Nail Lounge in Henderson. Ask for Tony and tell him Vinny from the Morning Tailgate sent you. Or you could just give them a call and make an appointment, 725-204-7384. That's 725-204-7384. You could also go to their website, milanosnailslounge.nv.com. That's milanosnailslounge.nv.com.
That's probably the first time in this part of the season I've ever heard that. Let that sink in. Usually, that's something that's held for week 16, back in my day, week 17 and 18, when the team has no chance to make the playoffs, and you're trying to figure out, hey, I want to make it to the off season without getting hurt. That's what we call a business decision.
Now we got our ass whooped.
Eric Allen from our Monday morning cornerback segment, which we do every Mondays here on Raider Nation Radio, here on the Morning Tailgate, 702-365-9200. That's our text line. We got a plethora, an abundance of texts.
We'll get through them all.
It's an onslaught, maybe, of texts. It started up early, even before the show. Robin Oakland says, these meltdowns transcend players, coaches, front offices, and even ownership. It's humiliating. And lots of talk last week about national media. Do we want them to talk about us now? This week, it's simple. True. They'll continue to treat us like blank until we prove we're not. That being said, it's still early and several teams suffer disappointing losses, but our problems seem to run a bit deeper than just one bad game. Rob in Oakland, thank you for that.
I said last week, if the highlights from Las Vegas are abundant on the nightly shows, probably means bad things for the Raiders. And what happens? Andy Dalton becomes the first player this season, the first player, first quarterback, to throw for over 300 yards and three touchdowns in a game. The first. Pick any quarterback. Not Mahomes. Not Lamar. Not Josh Allen. Andy Dalton. The Panthers did not have a passing touchdown in weeks 1 and 2.
Had only scored 13 combined points.
They had 14,
you know,
in the first quarter.
As I was watching, this is a little bit of an aside, but as I was watching Andy Dalton, I was like, you know, we're so fixated on the young guys and the next group coming up. And you got a guy like Andy Dalton who is just standing there over on somebody's sidelines who proved, you know, he could still play. Nate Hobbs said, the guy's a good player. Like he's like, am I surprised? But at the same time, he is a good quarterback. And so, again, we're in such a rush to play all these young guys and get them on the field and play them. And it's look at the level of performance right now. Bo Nix had a pretty decent game yesterday, but Caleb Williams is struggling. And I'm a firm believer that there's probably some value in letting guys struggle and play. But Bryce Young lost, was it 17 of 19 games? Or he was part of all that, and it feels like things are getting force-fed when you have capable players like Andy Dalton just sitting there going, yeah, why don't you give me a chance, and I'll show you what it's supposed to look like.
You know, Pearson.
So you have to give him credit for how he played.
Absolutely. I mean, he looked unbelievable. He looked like a world beater.
Right.
Which makes it even more frustrating. You know, Antonio Pierce didn't mince words. EA didn't mince words. People in and out of the building. Why are we going to mince words? Nobody had a better book on Andy Dalton, you could argue, in the National Football League than Marvin Lewis. Guess what sideline he was on last night?
But, yeah, for
sure. What I'm saying is,
it's not even
there was every reason to get the job done. And they didn't just fall short. They fell on their face.
Right. And it showed, Andy Dalton had time to throw the ball yesterday, and look what he was able to do.
It's one of those situations, Clay, that, and I can understand the nation. I can understand the callers and the frustration. And it's not even the scars of the recent years. It's what are we doing? Everything was lined up for this team in week three. Everything. The home opener, the momentum of tasting your first victory. And I understand the pitfalls. You know, you hear the pitfalls now, right? You're at your highest, you're comfortable, and then you come home and it's the proverbial trap game. But you're at home. Antonio Pierce is talking all week leading up to the game about how they need to pay off the fans, begging, pleading the fans to show up. They showed up. They showed out. It was loud.
And you had also a bonding moment in that game and against the Ravens where you felt like Max goes up to Minshew, a turning point. Kind
it
of
had the makings of everything.
It looked like you were seeing a different culture on the field.
We were in act two of a movie. We had the makings of a
right
boy. This is where the bad turns to good and the good turns to storybook.
And you get a get right game that you kind of circled on the calendar, on the schedule, like this should be a dub.
And it wasn't even that they lost. The loss is a loss is a loss is a loss, right? At the end of the year. But for some reason, the Raiders have memorable losses. Because some losses are just different. And they didn't just lose. They got blown out. They got absolutely blown out. When the defense fell apart, the offense proved that they could not help complement that group. And that this is a defensive team. And if the defense doesn't show up to play, this team doesn't have a chance. And that's why I don't think it's a going out on a limb type situation. When you see Aiden O'Connell in mop-up duty, I don't. I mean, I don't know how you can. That's not you're not protecting Gardner Minshew because your offense was so futile and so non-existent, not just yesterday, but as we talked about, for what, 10 and a half quarters?
Ineffective, yep.
Ineffective, that at minimum you're sitting there thinking if you're still going to stick with Gardner and Gardner's going to be the guy, he needs every rep. They need to do something to find some kind of connection. And he pulled him. And well, what do you make of that? I mean,
I was wondering about certain plays that were when the game was beginning to go awry and it was in the third quarter, 4 minutes to go, you're down 20, okay? 27-7. And you need 6 yards. It's a third and six, and you throw a 4-yard check down to Madison.
Yeah,
that can never happen. That is not winning football. There is no way Madison could go and like bust a play out. He was completely covered. It was a pure check down all the way, and it looked like he was looking only for that check down. I watched that play over and over again last night, and I'm still like, how is this happening when there's check downs and you're down, you know, 20 points, you know, and it's a third down. It's a manageable third down. And this is what you're getting. And that reminded me of some of the poor play that we saw in the Gruden car era where there was check down city to Jalen Richard and you're down double digits.
Glutton for punishment, just watching it over and over, huh?
I couldn't believe my eyes. I couldn't believe the lies I was telling my own heart.
As I'm walking out last night, I was talking to a couple guys in the organization, and they said, you know, you're talking about the broadcast, what we're talking about and all this stuff. And they go, you know, what do you do? And I go, well, I'll go watch back the game. They go, you don't need to watch back this game. Because I'm one who likes to watch back the game, see the things right. I missed. And they go, you don't need to watch back this game. What you saw is what you saw. And, you know, it's a pretty spot-on type thing. There's really not a lot to unpack in terms of breaking down scheme and breaking down different kind of things like that. Davante Adams, you know, in games like this where talk about letdown. You know, everybody wants to know what Davante Adams is going to say. And it was one of those, we didn't know if he was going to talk, to be honest. You know, it was such a blowout. It was such a bad performance. We didn't know if he was going to meet with the media. He did. Here's what he had to say.
Davante, I'm not sure in your worst nightmare you could have seen something like this happen. So we got to ask, how does something like this happen coming off what you guys did in Baltimore last week?
I don't know. I'm not sure. This is one we have to look at the tape. We just didn't come out quick enough.
didn't convert enough. Run game couldn't get going and couldn't find a rhythm in the pass game.
And then, did you notice that at all?
In relation to what?
Like in terms of like effort level towards the end of the game after you kind of got out of
the game? It's tough for me to identify that.
Devontae, what do you think the biggest thing holding the offense back is right now?
Rhythm. Got to find the rhythm, find what we are best at and do that, and just try to be more efficient all together.
You got to bring it regardless, whether it's a practice, a walkthrough, or whatever. It don't matter. Just because you get a good week of practice, you can have three. You practice every day of the week if the league lets you, and I don't mean you're going to go out there and have a good showing on Sunday. You got to put it all together, and you got to play well, not just practice well.
What was the difference that you could see out there? Was it just the rhythm was different?
Execution, man. Sorry about that. Execution. We got to find a way to get going and keep it going. And I feel like once we get a rhythm going and, you know, pass game, whatever it is, that's when things generally look good. But if we just keep trying to do things that don't work, then it's going to make it, it's going to kill time and kill opportunities to be great on the field.
Devontae, last week there were some players talking about, you know, some of the disrespect. You were the one player who said, hey, we didn't win the Super Bowl on that fourth quarter in Baltimore.
Right.
So you kind of put a warning out there a little bit. And you've been on teams that have earned respect and earned belief. What is it going to take for this team to understand that that's what it requires?
It got to become a part of your identity. Like, it got to be who you show up as every day. It's not like just come out here, let's play hard like one day. It's more about, like, what the play style you have as a team. And we haven't established as a team on either side of the ball, any phase. And special teams, I mean, any of them. I think special teams probably been our most consistent over the last year and a half, 2 years, whatever. But it's about converting and being what you put on tape, not just having that be an experience.
That was Raiders wide receiver Devontae Adams. And again, more of the same from just about everybody we heard, Clay, in the locker room. Not a lot of answers last night in terms of what went wrong, how do you fix it, it's back to the drawing board, got to look at the tape. And when we talk about offensive rhythm, which was non-existent.
Right?
Again. Like you dancing.
Vit, you can't hear Vinny, but his mic got turned off real quick. But he just said, the Raiders offense is like my dancing
no
Clay.
Rhythm.
Clay.
There's rhythm in the chair.
There's a lot of rhythm in this
chair.
You
stay in that pocket, that's rhythm.
You stay in the pocket high and tight, you can't go wrong. So how dare you, Vinny? But as we try and get back on track, and Vinny's just throwing barbs my way.
But even Devontae was sighing, you know, during these questions, like, you know, it's like.
Devontae's calculated, right?
Yeah.
Devontae always seems to have an answer, or at least tell you how he feels. Being in that scrum, listening to what he's saying, it felt like, and I say this and everybody's going to, it felt like he's out of answers. Like, it felt like he's out of things to say or to turn it to try and create something. But I want to go past Devontae because there's going to be, we'll have plenty of time to talk about Devontae. This running game, Vinny, and I'm going to say this, and I say this with a slight caveat. I'm seeing the same things you guys are, okay? The pass protection yesterday was so much better than in weeks 1 and 2. And I know it's probably impossible to, you're like, Vince, what are you talking about? Gardner was so off kilter and off rhythm that he did not have free runners like in Baltimore, like in LA. There was not free runners. Colton had his best pass protection. I'm trying to give you some kind of like glimmers of hope. I know today's not the day for that, but I say this as I transition into the running game. The running game is so poor right now. They are getting beaten off the snap so consistently. It is, I don't want to say beyond repair. I don't know how you fix that. They know the snap count. JT, we heard JT in a promo say, we know this. The Raiders know the snap count, and they're getting beaten off the ball.
Are you saying that there's a talent issue then?
I don't know what
you
else.
Said. I don't know.
I don't know what the answer is because the reason why I bring up the pass protection, it's not that they're devoid of talent. Because to me, They were holding up well enough for Gardner to do something. Now, Gardner was not making plays. He was not doing what I thought. He was missing wide open dudes. And not by missing them, just passes. He wasn't throwing the ball.
Right.
He had time to make plays that he could have made. Mm-hmm. So in terms of pass protection, that's kind of the caveat I'm saying. I'm not saying that the line is devoid of talent. I don't know what the issue is because the run game is so poor right now. Zamir White is having zero chance. He's getting contact.
There was one
at the line of scrimmage every time he gets the ball.
There was one good sequence. It was after the 54-yard throw to Trey Tucker, which was a positive sign. You know, and they finally got Trey Tucker involved in a big play. And then I want to say Zamir had a 10-yard run and a 4-yard run. Yeah, right. So it felt like, okay, all right. Maybe they found something. Maybe it needed a long throw to kind of shake things up a little bit and get some running room. But then it just as quickly as it came.
They shifted from like pulling guards and they were getting some success like that. But then when they went back to the zone run scheme, it wasn't as effective.
I literally wrote in my notes, Tucker, 54-yard completion, big explosive play. Very next play, Zamir looks like Zamir on the next run. That was the 9-yard run. Mm-hmm. I put in parentheses, 9-yard run.
Right.
That was it. That was it.
Right.
I understand they got behind the 8-ball, but he played 2 snaps in the final 20 minutes.
Well, there was how about this? Sorry to interrupt. How about I think it was to start the second half. And it was 2 straight runs that got 3 yards, 3 yards. Now you're back in third and
incompletion, three and out.
Three and out.
With 2 straight runs, that was where booze really started coming.
That's where the booze started raining down. And that's where you understand what Antonio Pierce is doing. He's like, we're going to stick with the run.
We're trying.
We're trying.
Right. Those were runs up the middle. Nothing really fancy in that. You were just trying to hoping for a power game.
You know, Pierce keeps saying
it wasn't happening.
You know, that's our identity. But at what point is that not your identity?
Well, it's definitely not. I mean, that's what they want their identity to be.
There's only so much time. Right? Your identity cannot be your identity when it is not your identity. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills here.
You have to change your identity. There had to be an adjustment at that point, especially coming out when you have that possession in the third quarter to start.
Right.
And we didn't see it. And I think you even tweeted out at some point, like, I thought we'd see JPJ at this point.
He was rotating.
He was rotating, but.
But I thought I was blown away. Like, we're going to ask Antonio Pierce. We're going to talk to him at 11 a.m. This morning. But I don't know what the plan. Like, I just assumed get the rookie out there. It hasn't been happening at left guard. You were rotating at left guard last week. Give the kid a chance.
Yes.
Felt like he was ready to go. And I don't know if it's on if Jackson's not ready if he's told, because remember. I asked Antonio on Friday, I think it was, what's the plan, you know, or whatever, maybe it was Wednesday. He's like, I had a talk to Jackson about, like, mm-hmm. expectations. And I felt like, what do you mean? Like, what does that even mean? Like, is it because you're saying to him, hey, it's time for you to get out there and play? Or has he been like, hey, I'm ready to play. Okay, but this is how we're going to handle you. Like, I don't know what that meant. Like who's, yeah. where's the, you know, not resistance necessarily, but whose expectations aren't being met right now, and maybe it's Jackson who's not quite ready and has verbalized that, or maybe it's the coaching staff who says we're not ready to play you yet, and so here's your expectations. But I'm going to try to get some answers to that today because I thought he'd be starting the game at left guard and playing the game at left guard.
Raider Nation Radio, wrapping up hour number 2 here on the morning tailgate. We're going to continue to take your calls into the third hour, 702-365-9200. Clay, I understand the text line is full. Are we getting your inbox is full?
I mean, there's a lot of heartfelt sentiment, and some of it is interesting. It's from Poncho P in the 209, what's worse, guys? Next week the Panthers will get slaughtered and just make this Raiders loss look that much worse than it feels today. Another one from from Sports Junkie. Getsy is doing what he did in Chicago, trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. Zeus is a power runner. This line isn't built to run the wide zone scheme. Do what your players are good at. Don't make them fit your scheme. And Sal, right on the back end of that, says, I sent you numerous texts in February and March. I was not willing to give the keys to the kingdom to Zamir Weiss based on four games.
See, this is where the receipts all of a sudden start coming in. The demise of the team happens, and everybody wants to remind everybody of the receipts. But we're going to dive into the offensive line a little bit more at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. But, Vinny, I know, you know, we're not burying the lead, but a lot of people are very excited. Or not excited. That's the wrong word. A lot of people are very interested to hear the thoughts from Clay Baker at Clay Baker Radio. Skylar Thompson.
Oh,
I didn't know, man.
I don't know if you saw. Now,
Do you believe in curses?
We never wish injury on anybody. Even the worst of enemies for Clay, he does not wish the enemy. But Skylar Thompson got knocked out of the game yesterday for Miami after on Friday. Clay really just a verbal onslaught on number 19.
I saw him do a fist pump when the injury happened.
Was that what I saw?
And then he went and got himself another Charlotte.
Clay, what do you have to say for yourself?
You know what? He wasn't playing well up until that injury, but you know what? Maybe I went a little overboard. maybe I shouldn't have thrown those feathers in the water. Played a little white magic in the world of Wicca. He is a guy that really took a pounding yesterday, and it just kind of like, this is just a simple Friday pick'em. We just each give a game, and I didn't want to make it personal,
it got personal. You know, I got the alert on my phone about the Skylar Thompson injury, and I just kind of found myself immediately looked down the line to the press box, and I felt like Vinny's down in front of me for some context, and I felt like, at one point, Vinny looked down the line as well. Like, there's some symbiotic, just, we all felt what just happened at that moment.
Right.
Our ears were burning. All of a sudden, we got a little...
Get a little tinge. Let's keep a warm thought. Let's hope that the injury report comes up.
Let's hope Skylar's okay for Clay's sake.
Because now I'm starting to feel guilt. I'm riddled by guilt now. I feel like, it's just a game, everybody.
Oh, by the way, NFL Films is in Mount Laurel, New Jersey.
New Jersey.
We were wondering
Mount
about
Laurel.
That.
Why did I think Virginia?
I don't know.
Where did that come from? I don't know.
Maybe you were thinking about Q getting the recommendation to be in the FBI. So isn't it
Quantico?
Quantico, Virginia.
Quantico.
Hey, where'd Q go?
Can't talk about that. Can't talk about it.
He's running laps with Agent Starling trying to catch Hannibal Lecter. All right. 2 hours done. Our third hour comes up next. We got sound from Max Crosby, Madison, all up and down the board. We also want to hear sound from you at 702-365-9200.